Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively downtown. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I'm going to be giving folks in the back don't know this here at Luna Del Sea, but we're going to be giving away some Betty Boop scratch-off tickets. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I might put my Window Nation hat on before it's all over with, and I had fun with John Balog talking about the bus at Goodwill. We have great sponsors. Window Nation doing 2 for $2 all month long, and they send me out on the road. And the best part of the Crab Cake Tour is I get to see old friends. I have spent time here at Luna Del Sea. We're downtown on Pratt Street. People say, where are you? Right in front of the baseball stadium you don't come to anymore. That we need to get you down here on a hot day. Tony Asadi's been my friend for... We tried to figure this out. You came in here 19 years ago, 03. Does that sound about right?
03, right.
Now, I think August. I knew you up the street at Lighthouse, too, right? I mean, you were involved. You were other places then. You had other establishments at time,
well,
right?
I've been working in the city for about 35 years. I was a chief operational officer at Moe's Seafood, originally okay. Fisherman's Wharf, and the seafood factories and the markets and all of those.
Operational officer.
Operational. I was the A-team, the team that opens up new units,
okay.
Restaurants, market. Clubs.
How many were there at one point? There were several at one point, right?
Yeah, there were. I would say there were about 7-8 restaurants.
They took over my neighborhood restaurant, Ruggiero's, on Eastern Avenue many years ago. Yeah. There was a location out in Parkville, Lock Raven area on Joppa Road.
Sader Hill Shopping Center.
Sader Hill, absolutely.
That was the Fisherman's Exchange.
I had, the first time I ever had crab dipped in butter was there. My buddy Howard Scher, Humpin' Howie, who was invited today, by the way, to the program. We didn't do drawn butter with our crabs, you know, dipping the crab claw
no,
in there.
No, they do that. I mean, it's...
I do it now, and that doesn't feel very Dundalk to me.
Well,
it feels Gucci.
Oh, that's what they call it. Bougie and Gucci.
Bougie or Gucci? Figuring it all out.
I know. It's Baltimore, right?
It's good to see you, man. Always a pleasure. Tony's been my friend, so I know you. I moved downtown in 2004, and you literally, if you look out the window with the convention centers here, I literally could probably throw a baseball, maybe not on a bounce or two, and hit the former Sports Legends Museum. We're right on Pratt Street. And Dave Sims is coming over from the Mariners broadcast team because the Mariners are in town today, and he's an old buddy of mine, Jersey guy. And I said, you're right by center field. I mean, I said literally one block from center field.
Right.
And Chloe, our intern's down here, and she doesn't remember the Orioles in their glory because she's young. You and I remember, she's almost as young as the restaurant. So 20 years old, 20 years in the restaurant. The 20 years for you downtown, I said to her, 20 years ago, Tony had a thought about Luna Del Sea. Convention Center is going to have, what, 200 dates a year, 225, you know? Like, that's what you're thinking. That's what you're thinking, right?
That's what it had at one point.
It really did have that. Okay,
yeah.
But you thought that that was a forever thing.
Yeah.
And then you thought, Oriole Park's 10 years old, you know, 81 nights a year. The Yankees and Red Sox are here 15 times a year, right? You got at least 6 good weekends in the summer. And then you got Harbor Place, you got the arena. U2 played here in 2004, right? The Rolling Stones played here in 2006. So the Eagles played here in 2007. So I can go through all of that.
Right.
And then the plague happened. I live 5 blocks that way. Mm-hmm. I was doing opening day with Bub Weiser here with you for many, many years. I spent opening day at your bar out in the veranda here. You have an out.
Yep.
You know, this is... For anybody vested, and I know the television station was here. I mean, we're Baltimore Positive, but the experience of being here, we're here trying to lift it up, and you've seen a lot of change here. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, it's been through the golden years, and things are different now. I believe somewhere along the way, a domino effect was created. And that domino effect started smaller domino effect. So it's...
Well, you know, me being the jerk that I am, I pinned it on the baseball owner. And you know that. I mean, famously. But for your business, I remember early on, I moved down here in 2004, was the summer 4.
Right.
And I love the Orioles. I mean, it's the reason we bought the place. I love the Orioles, right? I mean, so that's why I invested $439,000, you know, in a condo with my new wife and our new life in my early 30s downtown. And I had seen Eddie Dopkin do Nates and Leons here. I saw Ron Furman, my dear friend from Max's on Broadway. And Max's, right. I always call it on Broadway. It's the Tap House. Him and his wife are mad at me. But I saw businesses come in here and try to capitalize on 3.6 million people coming down to the baseball games. 3.6 million people, 48,000 every night, 81 times a year coming down. I don't know if that was really sustainable, but I know the notion that the Washington Nationals would exist, right, and that malls wouldn't exist anymore like Harbor Place. The world's just changed, and it's rapid changing. It really
is. It's changing. It's just... There is no patience in people. There is no respect with certain generations, at least I could say it. But we are seeing unseen in the past things that you're like, wow.
But well, the dirt bikes come by here, right?
Well, they're representing something, a cause. I don't know what it is. Like to figure it out. What is it? What does it do for them? I heard different things. Help their mentality, you know. Is that true or not? I don't know. I'm not a psychologist. But this is what I hear.
But I do know it's dangerous. I've lived down here. And I know it's almost amazing nothing catastrophic has happened from that. But when you talk about the city itself and COVID, businesses exiting the city, and we say all this beautiful infrastructure, right? We have plumbing here, we have air conditioning, heating, we have roofs, we have safety to some degree internally, that we should be able to rethink this and reimagine it in the way that Governor Schaefer, Mayor Schaefer did when you found Baltimore. I don't know your story. Give me your story. When did you, 35 years, so let me do the math on that. You came here in 70-something? 80-something? When did you really come here?
To where? In Baltimore?
To Baltimore, Maryland. Why'd you come to Baltimore?
Well, I was with Moe's Seafood, Fisherman's Wharf, about 35 years ago. I did restaurants in Cedar Hill Shopping Center. Then we did a Fisherman's Wharf in Delaney Valley Shopping Center. And from that point, we did a couple of markets in the suburb on Bella Road. And then we came toward the city. I told my cousin Mo, I said, Mo, we have to go city for us to be something that would be great for the company. We need to go to the city. So we came and we grabbed a Saluti restaurant.
Little Italy?
Yeah, 219 okay. President Street. So we
now, at that point, the big building, Scarlet Place, they're not there yet. Coming there.
They were...
That probably happened in 90, 91, somewhere in there, maybe? Sounds right.
But they were there. The foundation of it was there.
Okay.
Did they rehab it? That was Mr. Merritt.
Right.
Yeah.
Merritt Properties, right.
Great guy.
Well,
I mean, the people that I'm... That generation of people, because I was in my 30s.
They built things here.
Oh. They used to call them Breakfast Club. Do you remember that?
No.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Schaefer, Peter Angelo, Boogie, Dr. Passan.
Bramble. There you go. Yeah, I'm giving some names. These are the people that built the city, literally.
They invested in the city heavily. Mr. John Padorakis.
Sure. All of East Baltimore, sure.
Harbor East, Landlord, Atlas Group, all in one. Created a perfect necklace of business. Smart.
But then people stopped coming to the city. And then crime. And then really the plague. I mean, you know, the things that have plagued the city have hurt me as a resident. You know, I sold my condo for $250,000 less than I had in it. And for everyone trying to make it, to still here this minute, you're here about to serve me a crab cake on the crab cake tour. You're invested in this. I'm invested in this. I'm here with you. You know it's going to be us that changes it. It's going to be the people that live here.
Right. If we don't give up or our time doesn't expire.
Well, we're still here.
Well, I know. We are being positive, I guess.
Well, but
reality,
we're being challenged. All of us are being challenged.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here to see it change. Go back how it was. But in reality, that cannot happen.
It has to go forward.
It has to go forward. Reimagining things that you're talking about, reimagining would work, where the foundation of reimagining is history.
So you look at the aquarium, you look at the science center, you look at the success of the harbor, you look at the success of conventions, you look at the success of the baseball team and what Camden Yards did for the city and say, all right, who's going to be that big thinker? And what is that big idea? And who believes in it?
Do you remember that good movie that said, if you build it,
they'll come.
They will come.
You know what amazes me?
So if you keep it safe, they definitely come.
Safety first.
Oh, of course. You know, families, baseball. What is it? Family gathering. Families go to baseball game.
They need to feel safe.
It's a game of patience. Who's patient these days? You text 10 times faster than I do. You're not patient.
I'm younger than you.
Well, it's your thing. Is reimagining thing will work when the foundation is solid. But we cracked this solid foundation ourselves. We allowed it, not that we literally went, you know. It's just the law, then the order, or law and the order. Which one is true? It's questionable of how people can change. That's why we are here on Earth, I think, as human being. The only thing that is going to be left end of the day, all the millions of dollars that you made, you lost,
spent,
you
enjoyed.
Spent, you enjoyed, all of that, that beautiful wedding band that you got, guess what?
It's not going with you.
It's not going to go nowhere close to you. And they get that suit that it was in the end of your closet. And they're not going to give you that old suit that you hated it. They just give you a quarter of it. Just to cover the top.
A vest.
A vest. Makes you look good. So it's changing thing is where it has to be. But knowledge of what is right and what is wrong, I think people are confused. I think the guy that sits on a bike and giddy up on one tire, he thinks that's right. And it's his right to do that. Same as a person that owns a gun. I have a right to use this. Not having it, not keeping it when I need it, but I'm toying around with it. The bike is for transportation. If I'm doing anything besides going from point A to point B, I'm toying around with it. Right or wrong? I mean, you have to create a right path for everything that we do as an individual. And people are confused about that.
That's society. They're keeping a society together.
Well, but at the same token, it's a business because people are making money on it. You have this beautiful, happy city of Baltimore. Everything is great. Everything is blue. There is so much love around that you're like, is this Baltimore? But right down, there are many businesses that they thrive on disaster, on sadness. They're all going to go bankrupt. Do you think that's going to happen? Is there any news, good news, bad news? One would generate money, one wouldn't generate money. They both generate money in their own way.
For someone who's in that business. Well, I mean, you know, the media gets slogged around as being the, I mean, they came down, I'm media, I'm here interviewing you, talking to you about what's on your mind. TV comes down when something bad happens, right? You were interviewed on the news the other day, not because we had a parade here, right? You had the IRL go through here at one point. Nobody came down for that. I remember what a disaster that was living down here.
Right.
But when when the TV cameras come, and shoot, I was in here watching, literally enjoying a delicious Greek salad, the Uvalde thing. And I said to Chloe, I'm like, you know, there's a disaster. That's when the media shows up, right? They're all parked in the park down in Texas. The whole world's media is taking over this little town in Southwest Texas in the same way that happened to North Avenue and Penn here back in 15 with Freddie Gray, right? You come in and then you lead the news as that's not safe. That's not a good place to go. Certainly the Freddie Gray thing from we can talk about The Wire, but I'm talking about outside of the city. When I would go places with an Oriole hat in 2005, 6, 7, or Raven hat, they might say something about Ray Lewis to me, or they'd say something about Cal Ripken. Now when you wear anything Baltimore, the first thing they talk about is The Wire. Or they talk about, hey, I hear it's not safe there, whatever. I lived down here for 20 years. I never had anything bad happen. Now, I'm lucky, right? But I maybe you haven't been so lucky, but I lived down here for 20 years. Nothing bad happened to me. So I don't have that, but bad things have happened to people I know. And for the news every day, to your point, making money off of the good or the bad, promoting the bad here has been something that I found it hard to take as an invested individual, because promoting the bad is what sold my condo for $250,000 less. It's what keeps the crowds down at Oriole Park. It's what keeps businesses that may have a chance to make it be abandoned and forgotten about. And certainly COVID didn't help that situation, right? The fact that people couldn't come out. I know it's been a struggle for you with your business, but it's been a struggle for everybody down
here. Well, the crime, which started back in 2015, from that point, everything start flipping in the city. As far as, let's say, a restaurant like this, when you lose $1 million in a cubic of year and a half after Freddie Gray, we dropped.
Everyone dropped. I knew that.
Everybody dropped.
I knew when I lived on the 23rd floor, six blocks from here, and my wife had just beaten cancer the first time. She hadn't had cancer the second time. So it was 15, May of 15.
Yeah.
And I looked out the window. We had just gone away from the first trip that she could do, because she couldn't be in the sun at all after her transplant. It would have killed her. So she was not allowed to be in the sun at all. And we actually got to go down to the Caribbean for a couple days. She sat under an umbrella with 45 on, but got to go. So first time ever, we did 4 days, and we flew back. And when we landed, it was that Sunday night, Game 7, Islanders Capitals. I had seen the television stuff that had happened right out here on the Oriole game on CNN. And I got home, and I looked, and that's when the fireballs went up in the sky over in East Baltimore. Mm-hmm. I got video of the fireball, and I turned to my wife, and I was just mortified, right? But I said, it's going to be a long time before we ever get the city where it needs to be after this. This is going to be, this is really going to be tough. And then the tanks came, right? And the militia came in for those days, machine guns, guys on the corner, all that. And coming back from that, for someone from Parkville or Westminster to come down to your place or Moe's or anywhere, or Meech, any of the places I love, and eat, very difficult decision at that time. But I think all these years later, there has to come a point where you rise up out of it, right? I mean, Brandon Scott talked about that on the trail a couple years ago. New politicians, we're going to have Ivan Bates in here in a little while. We're going to talk about this. But there has to come a point where we reject what's happened, right? That we say this isn't Baltimore. It has to be something else. And I think that the people like you and me sitting and doing stupid stuff like this and getting together and trying to say I'm still here and we're going to be, to your point, we're going to be a part of making it better. I'd like to think 10 years from now, we'll be going back into what did you call it? The glory years? You call it?
The golden years.
The golden years. You called it a David Bowie song. Tony Asadi's my guest. We are at his beautiful establishment. It's called Luna Del Sea. 2 decades in. Now, Scott told me he doesn't have crab cakes anywhere else but here.
Well, he had it, but he doesn't want to admit that he had it.
When's the first time you had a crab cake in your life? Because you're not from here. You're from the Middle East. You came over here. You had a Maryland crab cake. You work for Moe's. They have a hell of a crab cake at Moe's. Always said that.
Well, the recipe is an old recipe. Comes out of a chef of a good old hotel that I'm not going to tell you the name
Pimlico.
Of.
Pimlico! Pimlico Hotel! Everybody stole the Pimlico!
Yeah.
See, I know these things. I talk to people.
A good chef, a great chef that I expedited against him. And I was his expediter, and that's how I learned cooking, basically. Expediting versus different chef, and you know, I look at different you know, the different touches that they have.
No secret about your crab cake, though. You're fully admitting this is an old recipe, and it's what you've always done.
Well, it's just the menu that I created in this particular restaurant. After doing so many restaurants as either member of a company or a consultant, it's just I kept certain recipes from certain chef. Joseph made a great chicken franchise, and that's the chicken franchise. If I do chicken franchise or chicken Marcello, Joseph's recipe is superior to many other chefs that I've seen and I work with. So it's, yeah, I mean, it's the menu, it's a catalog of different talented chefs, because I'm not a chef.
You're an eater.
No, I call myself short order cook.
Okay.
I'm just wondering how short the order is. You know what I mean? 500 people, 1,000 people doing catering, doing, you know, I take care of different outfit that I'm not allowed to talk about as far as, you know, different...
Catering,
right, for certain companies that I don't want to use their name as an advertisement because they're very popular.
Right on.
And you love a few of them yourself.
So. All right, that's good.
So we're not going to go there. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, there is so much goes in building a restaurant, because to me, every restaurant has a soul. And you take that soul away from it, you're taking recipes away from it. Because it's my vision. You know, I call it my restaurant. No, I'm not a restaurant owner. These days I became a babysitter. I'm babysitting this baby. Because if you don't treat it any other way, it would fall and it would fail. Because people don't respect and don't care. That's one of the major problems that the restaurant industry and hospitality industry has, is because...
You don't have lifetime workers, right? You have transitional workers in many cases.
Transitional, but the thing of it is, listen, you know, when things change, okay, look at how 70s, 80s were, all right? You are 16, 17 years old, 18 years old, you come out of high school, okay. What kind of a job did you have?
Oh,
I had a shift at Burger King, or two shift at the Burger King, and the parents let you do that to teach you that money doesn't grow on a tree. One.
$3.35 an hour.
$1.68.
All right, it was my minimum wage. All right, just so
that, mine was $1.68 when I started at back in 75, 76. So it was like an element that allow a young man to understand working, and now I can take my girlfriend out to a movie.
To, you know, Club, I mean? Venus. Absolutely. Well,
no, but you weren't allowed to get into
God,
Club
look at
Venus.
That.
Where did you get to Club Venus? You know Michael Atlas?
No, Club Venus, I would say, was 1975 or 76, and you were old enough, because you're older than me, and you mentioned Sader Hill and you mentioned Parkville, so that's why I say Club Venus. Is that fair enough?
Yeah.
All right, well, that was good, right?
Yeah.
That was the disco back in the 70s. My parents used to go there.
Yeah.
75, 76, 77, right?
And Michael Atlas owned it.
Did he? Yeah. All right, see, you know, he knows everybody. Tony Sadi's here. This, that's a hell of a crab cake. Now, is this gluten-free? I need to know.
No.
Chloe's out. She got it. We didn't get you gluten-free last week, is what we did.
Well,
French fries are gluten-free. All right, they look good.
Well, you can do that gluten-free.
I know you can.
Crab Imperial.
Oh, I love Crab
Imperial. That's gluten-free.
I'm taking you to Costas for Crab Imperial gluten-free. There you go. That's what I'm going to do. That's where I'm going to take. So we're going to be at Costas in a couple weeks doing our crab cake tour. We're downtown right now. We're at Luna Del Sea. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I got my Betty Boop scratch-off tickets. We're going to be giving these away. Our friends at Window Nation as well as... all right, so this crab cake here, you served me a sandwich. This is even better. I get a little... Look at fresh tomato. It must be June. When you get a tomato that looks like that, you know it's June. It's summertime.
Yeah.
Beautiful. For you with crab cakes and the city, I said to my wife about a year and a half ago, I wanted to do a crab cake tour. She's like, so what is the crab cake tour? So I'm trying to explain to people. I said, I could go to hundreds of restaurants without ever leaving the Beltway. Different restaurants. Everyone has a crab cake, and everyone's proud of their crab cake, whatever it is, right?
Right.
First crab cake for you when you had it. Was there anything in where you're from that tasted like a Maryland crab cake?
Well, over there, they wouldn't eat it.
Okay, why not? Teach me some culture.
Well,
teach me some Iranian history.
Wait a minute.
Religious issue.
Religiously, they cannot eat any type of seafood that does not have fin.
It's a fin issue. Okay, so it's a fish.
Yeah, like shark. No, it's forbidden because it has a skin. Not the mustache and all of that.
Okay, right, not the catfish. Right, okay, I understand.
Not that either. But
so a crawling creature would not be edible religiously.
Yeah, okay. Like lobster,
scallop,
snook,
shrimp,
mussel,
oyster, nothing.
No. Shellfish, forget about it.
Just a fish.
Fish.
Okay, I did
they
not know.
They mostly eat the famous fish over there, which is very expensive, sturgeon.
Sturgeon, okay.
What do they get out of a sturgeon?
No, I don't know that I've ever eaten sturgeon.
Caviar.
Caviar comes from sturgeon.
So now, would you kill a fish?
No,
give you caviar?
No, you're killing the cow that makes the milk.
There you go.
So crab cake for you was something you had never eaten.
No, I wasn't exposed to it, but guess what? I tried it. First time it was, I ordered it. I didn't know what it was, and I would order things.
Just trying things. Like
just
I do when I'm in Japan. I can't read the menu. I just point. I'm like, give me that. I'll try that.
But they do have pictures in Japan, at least.
This is so beautiful. I don't know that I want to eat it. I'm going to eat it, though. I'm starving.
Yeah.
I can't do that with this going on. Tony Soddy's here. We're at Luna Del Sea, talking food, talking business. So for you, the hope here, I want to be hopeful because we are Baltimore positive. We talk, you know, obviously your business has been impacted. We've talked about that. We might have the World Cup here in 2026. Like 2 weeks from now, that could happen. The fact that this catcher, number one overall pick, Adley Rutschman, that maybe the team could be better, right? That maybe on the other end of this, conventions would... I don't know if conventions... What do you believe in conventions? About conventions coming... What? I saw they're doing construction here. They're doing construction on the Royal Farms Arena. Oh. They've told me Royal Farms Arena is going to be concerts. A lot of concerts we're going to have.
Listen...
So there is some hope here. There's potential here.
There are plans already in play for Maryland all over. This part of Maryland became a puzzle where we are right now, Baltimore. It's a puzzle. They don't know what to do with it. Guess what? They are going to do something about it. The port of Baltimore is where? Right there. How do you rank that port on the east coast of this country? Number two?
I was going to say top three, but fair enough.
So there is so much.
Washington's there. Philadelphia's there. The airport's there. The city's here. The infrastructure is here.
And we got some good fellows or good guys.
We do. We have good
people. Brothers.
We have good people.
Whatever
here.
You want to call them.
Right on.
You know, and there are some people that they have investment in this city.
Well, we see Port Covington coming up as well.
Yeah.
Well, I love that the arena's finally getting done 60 years late, right? The baseball stadium's now 30 years in, and the thing that I've preached to everyone is there's going to be transition here. Whatever happens with Peter Angelos and his last breath and wherever that is and his kids, I hope the transition isn't the franchise in Nashville. I realize that's a possibility. People want to say that that's not possible. It is possible.
Everything is possible.
Everything is possible. Harbor Place, should it be a park? Should it not be? So these things are going to change. There's going to be a lot of change around here. And then to your point, is it good change or bad change? What's the investment? And to your point, it all comes back to crime, right? I mean, until we solve that, we talk about that on Baltimore Positive every day. I'm going to have Ivan Bates come in here, state attorney, running for office. Crime is at the root of all of this. Fix that, and then you have the foundation.
Well, the whole problem is lack of respect all around. Okay? You want to band-aid it with money? You can't. You know? Throwing money at it, it's going to make it worse. Because the foundation needs to be secure and right. So, listen, I told a couple of people this. some officials, some non-officials, some religious group. But I think if each district of this city turns around and get a hold of a bunch of mothers and grandmothers in communities, the respectable one. Because if you go through these neighborhoods, there is always Grandma Shirley here or Grandma.
And she's lived there since.
And guess what? That grandma fed all the kids one way or another at one sitting or many other sitting. And those kids do respect that. Respect that person. They have no respect for a badge or anybody else but the mother or the grandmother. I think they got to go pay them. They never got paid for whatever community work they did all these years. They never expected to get anything.
Imagine this. You come from a different culture to talk about your elders, right? Being in any culture, being the leader. Historically, in the course of our life, not our lifetime, through history, through centuries, it was the elders who were always the respected ones, right?
Because somewhere during their 50 years, 60 years of their life, they seen something close to this. Not this bad.
Well, the late 60s in Baltimore, and if you're talking about COVID, we were talking to people a few years ago about polio, right? You know, the grandchildren who my mother, who was old enough to be my grandmother, told me about her sister dying of polio. You those stories carry with you. I agree with that.
And
I'm an older soul because my parents were born in 1919, right?
So when you look at is like the crime that you see is so crazy that you've seen this movie before. It's like a deja vu.
Right.
You know what I mean? Is this Harlem? No, it's not. Could it be as bad? I'm talking not Harlem today.
Right.
But when Harlem.
I'm staying in Harlem Friday night, so don't call it bad for me this week.
I'm not.
I'm going to be at Sylvia's getting
fried. But I'm going back in time. You got to go back in time.
No, you're just saying a bad area.
The history of that. Now it's you cannot touch it, probably. It's much better than what it was. But it's the up and down. That's what makes the difference. Because if it's not going to get better, it cannot get worse than what it is. Can it get worse than what it is?
It can always get worse. I mean, it can.
What, we are going to get a tsunami?
Well, okay. Give me that fork over there, because I want to eat this crab cake. Tony Asadi's been here. Dave Sims is up in the house. Root Sports, man. He's got his represent. We got his 42 going. We're going to talk a little baseball around. Chloe, throw me that fork there, and I'm going to try this crab cake. We usually, Tony, I usually do the crab cake at the end. Because a couple of my guests were a little later getting in, I wanted to do it at the beginning. It's really good to visit with you. I appreciate the crab cake, all the hospitality over all the years. I'm sorry I'm no longer your neighbor, but I did reach to you right away. I wanted to come down here and share a crab cake with you.
Good.
Make sure we promote the business. Tell everybody how to find you and what else you do at Luna Del Sea, that people could make a reservation. Stop by if you're coming to an Oriole game, you're going to a concert. I hear the arena is going to be opening with a certain boss next year, that this is a great place to stop and get a crab cake, get a beer. I've done it many, many times before opening day.
Got Hippodrome also.
Oh, Hippodrome. Well, I went to a show 6 weeks ago. What did I see? I saw something there. What the heck? I forgot the show I saw. I saw Tootsie. I saw Tootsie there. I wanted to go see the Donna Summer show, but I didn't make it.
I heard that was a good one.
Yeah. Well, I love Donna Summer. Hot stuff. Tony Asadi with the crab cake. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'm giving away some. You want to you get a scratch off here. I'm going to give you one right now. You want a blue one or a pink one? What's the lucky one for you? You feel lucky?
Left.
Left it is. He's blue. Also, our friends at Window Nation and our friends at Goodwill. Crab Cake Tour. I got to have a bite of the crab cake. Is this remoulade? What is that? Is that a... That's tartar
sauce.
Homemade?
Tartar. Yes.
A little lemon in there.
Go ahead. You're not going to get the recipe.
I never put tartar on a... Tartar's for fish sticks. I've never understood that.
I don't put it on either.
Well, I'm going to try it, but I'm going to try it plain first.
You don't need it.
That's pretty good. You don't need it.
You don't need it at all.
If I'd seen the ketchup, I would have gone there with the French fries. By the way, when you serve steak fries, you win my heart. I'm with skinny fries.
They steak fries, they keep the temperature better.
They're more potatoey. They're delicious. Restaurant guy. Next time we'll talk operations.
Okay.
All right, Tony Asadi. We're down here at Luna Del Sea. We're back for more here downtown. It's all on WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. We should say Baltimore sports. We're going to get some Seattle sports next.